It will be September the 11th, and what I want to do for the next few minutes is talk about both of those. So let's get started. Let's get started today on the blessings of being a grandparent. I want to give you five blessings of being a grandparent, and I think this is going to be interesting, but it's also, I'm probably going to cry. So the first one is you get to do life together. Just doing life together, that's a blessing. It's a blessing to me to get to do life with my grandkids and my children. How many of you remember where you were on September the 11th last year when you heard the news that America had been attacked? I sure do. I know exactly where I was. I was on the Gulf of Mexico, as Lance was sharing earlier. He and I were out fishing. Bonnie and the boys were down visiting us in our condo on our vacation, And the phone rings, my cell phone rings on the boat. And we are told that planes had flown into the World Trade Center. We were told that the Pentagon had been attacked. I mean, all of a sudden, the things that you thought couldn't happen were happening. Jets began to fly up and down the coast. It was amazing. It was just kind of amazing that all of a sudden, this United States of America was under some kind of weird attack by the terrorist. So, I know exactly where I was. I was doing life with my family. I was doing life with my children. And I was doing life with my grandchildren. Did you know what the youngest person to die in the World Trade Center is? Do you know the age of the youngest person that was killed in the World Trade Center? Now, I don't know that I've ever heard this before. But a mom and a dad had taken their 2-year-old daughter. Her name was Christy Lee Henson. And here's a picture for you. They had gone to the World Trade Center that morning. And she died there. That whole family was wiped out. No more generations. No more people. Robbed of life. You know, I was laying in bed this morning. I didn't sleep well last night, and I was just laying in the bed this morning, and I was thinking of what special kind of evil that was. What special kind of evil can just do that? Have no sense of caring about who they killed or what they killed or how many they killed. Just kill. What special sense of evil? On September the 11th, 2001, I was doing life with my family. I was going through the journey of life. And the Bible speaks a lot about that. And I want to show you a scripture from Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. In Genesis 11, 31, Abram, we begin hearing the story about Abraham. Now, let's read this. It says that Terah took his son, Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. They were just doing life together. The Bible talks a lot. You know all the genealogies that are there? That these are just generations doing life together. And the Bible talks a great deal about how that's the way it's supposed to be. I remember, as I was a child, I did life with my grandparents, and I'm sure you do as well. You remember your grandparents, you remember your grandmas and your grandpas or papas or whatever they were to you. I'm all daddy. And you remember what your grandparents were to you, and you did life together. Mine taught me to play Monopoly and shuffleboard and dominoes and checkers and you know, mine taught me a lot about just having fun in life. And then when I became a parent, I remember my kids doing life with their grandparents, and they would play and they would go to the store and they would just do life together. And then I get to be a grandparent and I get to do life with my grandchildren. And we just journey through life together. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's not how it was on September the 11th of 2001. See, some of my fondest memories are of my dad holding my oldest grandson. How special that is to me. And those taken on September the 11th won't get to do that. They won't get to hold those kids. They won't get to be 21st century grandparents. They won't get to be in the delivery room and watch that head pop out. They won't get to watch that first breath. They won't get to hear that first cry. They won't get to hold that new life. They won't get to send pictures all over the world like I did on the internet. They won't get to be 21st century parents and grandparents. That's so sad. Because their life was just snuffed out. Was taken. How sad. That blessing was taken from them. That light extinguished. They don't get to do life with their grandchildren. The second thing that the Bible talks about, I want to talk about just a second, is the blessing of our grandchildren. Grandparents get to bless their grandchildren. Let me read you this scripture from Genesis chapter 31 and verse 55. Early the next morning, Laban kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. Then he left and returned home. Now, Laban's not one of the best known characters in the Bible. Laban is not a person who had his family together, or Laban's not a person who had his life all together. But Laban understood the blessings of grandchildren. And he wanted to bless them. Within an hour of mine being born, I had them in my arms. And I was praying for them. And I was blessing them. I was speaking a word over their life. And I continue to do that today. I continue to do that nearly every day. I just did it just a moment ago. I'm constantly blessing them. You see, those that perished in September of 2001 won't get to do that. They won't get to hold that life. They won't get to do that. You know, and I think that we don't understand that we think that to bless somebody that we've got to be eloquent, we've got to be able to prophesy, we've got to be able to think fluently and speak fluently over their lives and give them a direction of life. Well, it's not that way at all. What you do is you bless your grandkids. You just tell them how smart they are. You just tell them how much you love them. You just tell them you can do anything you want to do. You can be successful. You're going to have a great life. And you bless them. But those that perished on September the 11th aren't going to get to do that. That life, that light, put out, was stolen from them, was taken from them. Now, I've given you 2 points, doing life together. And the second point that I've given you is this point about blessing your grandchildren. Listen, people, I want us to not take these things for granted. Here I was, September the 11th, fishing. What had I been on one of those jet airplanes? I fly a lot. Had I taken for granted? Had I taken for granted doing life with my grandkids and my children? Had I taken for granted blessing them? Don't do that. If I'm saying anything today, and if I want you to hear anything today, is don't do that. Don't take it for granted. Because you just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. The third thing that I see is that telling the grandchildren the goodness of God. How good is God? Telling them. You know, Exodus chapter 10, verse 1, and this is sort of a strange scripture, but I wanted to read it to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these miraculous signs of mine among them, and that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I dealt harshly with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am the Lord." One of the reasons, it was interesting to me, one of the reasons that God hardened Pharaoh's heart was so they could tell their grandkids that God will take care of you. One of the reasons that God hardened Pharaoh's heart and the hearts of his officials, this evil person, was so that he could show their grandchildren how great God is. Now that was interesting to me. Yeah, have you ever gotten around really evil people? I mean, people that you know, how evil can you know, you're thinking, man, this is an evil person. And God, why won't you fix this? God, why won't you stop this? God, why won't you change this person? You know what? God's doing it just so that he can show you how good he is, how he will take care of you, how he's going to take care of your grandkids, how he's going to take care of your children. Tell them, he says, tell them how I delivered you. Jack is trying to figure out now. He's getting old enough that he's trying to figure out how I can be his mommy's daddy and his Uncle Lance's daddy, but I'm his aw daddy. Now, he named me aw daddy. He began to talk, and instead of being coming out granddaddy, it came out aw daddy, and it stuck, and I like it. So I'm aw daddy, and he's trying to figure all this stuff out, and we're beginning to tell him the stories of our lives. We're beginning to tell him that how God has brought us through and how God has blessed us and how wonderful God is to our lives. One of the most meaningful events that's happened to me over the past several weeks is them coming up and sitting with me right here in my seat. They come up here and they watch me praise God. They watch me lift my hands and worship the Lord. They watch me clap and shout and sing. They watch their grandmother up here. They watch her praise God and minister to people. They watch Uncle Lance up here, leading worship. You know, and they're starting to learn the goodness of God. They're starting to learn right now that we love God and that he's the center of our life. They were at the house this past week. And so Max's going to go play church. So he goes and gets him a guitar that I bought him. And it's a little battery-operated deal. And he goes and he's singing. So his grandmother says, "Max, what are you singing?" And he says, "I'm singing, Jesus is gone, gone, hallelujah. Jesus is on the throne, but he's playing church." And so Max is playing church. So Jack wants to play church too. He said, "Let me play." So Jack gets him a microphone and comes out and he says, "Well, hello everybody. How's everybody doing today? Praise God." They're learning the goodness of God. They watch church movies. Now, the church movies is the year in review. The church movies are the Easter drama. And they watch them as much as they watch Shrek and Barney. They like church movies. And they like to play church. And they like to play King's Castle. And And we were riding in the car one day, and I know that it's happened other times since then, but riding in the car in the back seat, they're back there playing King's Castle. And they can quote the scriptures, and they can bring you all the way down to the throwing out the candy, the whole thing. Because they're starting to get Jesus as the center of their lives. They're starting to hear the goodness of God. Those that perished last year aren't going to get to do that. They're not going to get to sit and worship with their children and grandchildren. They're not going to get to hold them. They're not going to get to bless them. They're not going to get to tell them of the goodness of God. The light was put out. The life is gone like a vapor. Don't do that. Never forget the importance of worshiping with your children and your grandchildren. Never forget that. Don't take your worship lightly with your family. Students, I want you to hear me. I know you guys love to sit together. But sometimes just go sit with your parents and your grandparents. Not because I'm telling you to, but because they won't always be here. Go see them. Go sit with them. Worship with them. Don't take worship lightly. The Bible doesn't. Let them see the goodness of God. What would those that perished on September the 11th last year give right now to get to worship with them one more time? Get to worship with their grandkids or those that survived, that lost their grandparents or their parents. What would they give to get to worship with those people just one more time? The light's out. The fourth thing. Impacting future generations. The fourth thing that I want to say is a blessing from God to me is I get to impact the future by what I'm able to impart and get into my children and my grandchildren today. I can change the future. I can direct destiny by what I'm able to accomplish in our children today. 2 Kings chapter 17 says this, verse 41. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. We get to change the future for the good or for the bad by what we're able to get into our children. We can teach them to worship idols. We can teach them to worship Jesus. We can teach them to be darkness. Or we can teach them to be light. I had a lunch with a businessman a while back. And we began talking about darkness. And we began evil. And if you don't know what that synonym is or what like is, we begin to talk about how things seem to be getting more evil, darker. Well, my take on that is this, that the way we're going to change darkness is to put light in there. Is that right? And the only way we get to put light in there is by putting light into our children and into our grandchildren and if possible into our great-grandchildren. We can change the way this world goes by what we're able to impart and get into our grandchildren and our children. That's the only way that I know it's going to happen. It will continually get more and more dark unless you and I and grandparents and parents all over this world begin to do our jobs. Unless we really begin to get into our children, right and wrong, the things of Jesus and let them become the lights of the world. It's just going to get darker. But if we do our jobs, we can control the way the world actually goes. We can change darkness by putting light into it. Those who perished on September the 11th last year can't do anything about tomorrow. They can't do anything about the future. They can't do anything about destiny because their light was put out. Snuffed out like a candle. Gone. Perished. Don't take it for granted. I'm able to say right now, Jack and Max, I know that the faith that was in your grandmother Judy and is also in your mother Bonnie is also in you. And one day, I'm going to be able to say, the faith that was in your grandfather Delbert and was also in your father Lance is also in you. We can do that. We can watch them develop in their faith. We can watch them change the world. Then the fifth thing. Fifth point, the fifth blessing, is that we get to be blessed by our grandchildren. Grandparents and parents should be blessed by their grandchildren and children. Look at this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this, say it with me, for this is pleasing to God. You got weak on me. Can we do better than that? For this is pleasing to God. Yes, it is. We got to do this with my wife's grandfather, Herb Martin. We got to do this with my dad before either of them passed away. We got to take them into our home. And our children got to be there with us. And let me tell you something, that was an experience that made each of us better people. Those were lessons that we learned that we could have learned no other way. We all became better people because of getting to do that for them, getting to repay them for what they had done for us. We didn't do it all right. We didn't do everything correctly. We made some big mistakes. But we got to do that. We got to be blessed by blessing them. And if you do it right, if you do life right, if you work into your grandkids what you need to work into them and into your kids and your children what you need to work into them, they'll take care of you when you're old. When you're no longer able. I'll never forget my daddy begging me, don't put me in a nursing home. I remember Judy's granddaddy begging me, please don't put me in a nursing home. We did it. See, those that died September the 11th, last year, won't have the opportunity to be blessed by their grandchildren or by their children. And those grandchildren and children won't have the opportunity to learn the lessons that you can only learn by doing that. September the 11th, 2001, 3,003 lives ended. Do you have your card that I gave you? You should have gotten a card as you come in. Hopefully you did. Now all those cards, if we put them all together, we would find 3,003 names. I couldn't get them all on one card. Some of you have Flight 77. Some of you have one of the other flights. Some of you, most of you have cards that are from the towers. Took me 12 cards to get them all on. Nine of those were people from the towers. Over 2,700 people died at the towers. But all together in this room, we represent with those cards the 3,000 and the three souls. I'm going to invite you at the end of the service to do something with those. Take them home and pray for them if you'd like. Or either just kind of bring them up and lay them here on the platform. Just as a memorial that you can bring today. We have one of these that we were hoping was going to make it by this service, but it didn't. And it's going to be an outside banner. It's just like this, except it's in color. And it's going to sit on the front lawn. It's going to sit out there on that board. We're going to put it on the front lawn. And we're going to put some flowers there. We're going to put some candles there. And we're going to encourage people in our city, in our region, because I don't know of another thing around here like this. Just come by and just lay something there. Let it be a memorial for those people, those lives that were just taken. It'll be out there tomorrow. And I encourage you, as I'm encouraging our city, to come by and do something. Think about those people. Pray for those people. Pray for those poor families. Pray for those people, those parents and grandparents and children that will never get to have a grandparents' day like you and I are having. Just remember that. Sad. Five things. 5 points. Doing life together. They'll never get to do life with their children or with their grandchildren. They'll never get to bless their grandchildren. They'll never get to smell their hair. I sit in my chair at home. And, Jack and Max are coming. They'll be playing. They want to get in my lap. And I'll get them up in my lap, and I'll put my arm around them, and I can feel their hearts beat. And I can smell their hair. And I love to hear them giggle and laugh. I just can't imagine how it would have been to not get to done that. It is such a part my life. I am such a blessed person, but those grandchildren are such a blessing to me. I love my kids. That's a great dad. I'm a good husband. I'm an excellent grandparent. They love our daddy. And I love them. And I can't imagine not experiencing this. What I want you to hear today is don't take these things for granted. Cherish every moment, every time you get to worship with them. Tell them about the goodness of God, number three. Tell them how much you love Jesus and how much Jesus loves them. And you tell them that they can do it. Impact the future through them. Change destiny. Bring light into this world. Live on in them. If you do it right, they'll bless you. You'll learn lessons and they'll learn lessons. You could learn no other way. Grandparents on September the 11th. What a tragic day. What a horrible day. We're going to see a video, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have a candle service. We're going to dismiss with a candle service. I want you to see this video. It's 4 minutes and 10 seconds long, and it's just remembering those 3,003 people After it's done, I'll come back. We'll make sure everyone has candles. And then we're going to pray for those people and for those families. I'm going to ask the Lord that He puts them on your heart. And He puts the importance of being a grandparent and a parent on your heart. I'll be back in just a minute.
You say you will never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his finger steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I am not going to make it. Tell the children that I love them. Tell the grandchildren that Granddaddy loves them." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their grandchildren. I held her as she tried to understand his words and as she realized he wasn't coming home again and that she would never see him again. I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. "I have been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years," I said. "Of course I will show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building with the priest ministering to the injured and devastated souls. I was there to take him home. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers in the Pentagon. I was reaching for those who did not believe. I was with every fireman, every police officer, every emergency worker. I was in Georgia, Florida, Texas, London. I was with you when you heard the terrible news. I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all knew me. Some met me for the first time in the towers, on the planes, and at the Pentagon. Some sought me with their last breath. Some chose, for the final time, to ignore me. I was with every son and every daughter. I was with every mom and every dad. I was with every grandfather and every grandmother. I was there. You did not die in the towers that day. You did not die on the planes that day. You did not die at the Pentagon that day. But had you been there, would you have reached for me? The truth is that one day you will have a September 11th and your journey will end. I want you to know that I will be there for you just as I was there for them. Seek me now. Then, at any minute, you will know that you are ready. Remember, I love you.
Do you have a candle? If you don't, you'll raise your hand. We'll make sure you have one. Carrie and Matt are going to sing a song. Judy and I'll do as well. Pass on one side and she the other. We'll light the candle on the end, and if you will, just pass it down. Light the next one to you. And then we'll stand and we'll pray. I ask you, please, slide the paper as close to the top and hold your candle upright. If you tilt it like this, it drips on the carpet, and it's extremely difficult, if at all possible, to get off. Just help us just a little bit there. When we're lit, we'll dim the lights, we'll stand and we'll pray. remind you again that our plans are to have this on the front lawn. And if you can find time, flower or something, just come by. Encourage people you know to do it too. It's a horrible day for America. It's a horrible day for those families. I can't imagine. Can't imagine getting to hold my grandkids one more time. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those families. I pray for their children. I pray for their parents. I pray for their grandparents. Lord, we lift them to you. The survivors. Lord, somehow this horrible week that they'll experience, and somehow bring them comfort. Lord, somehow turn this evil thing into good. Only you can do that. Remind us this week, Lord, to pray for these people, pray for these individuals, pray for these families. Lord, I pray for the troops that are overseas. I pray for our soldiers, Lord, who are trying to maintain the nation under God. We're trying to root out evil so we don't have to live under terror. I pray for our leaders. I pray for our President Bush. I pray for Vice President Cheney. I pray you'll give them wisdom and help. I pray you protect them. I pray for our senators and for the House of Representatives. I pray for our national and our regional leaders. And I ask you, Lord God, bless them. Give them wisdom that nothing like this will ever happen in America again. Lord, I pray for us. I pray for every person here. I pray for our region. Families here, the grandparents, the parents that are here, the children, the grandchildren, even the great-grandchildren. Keep us from taking each other for granted. Let's realize, Lord, today could be the last. We just don't know. Lead us, Lord. Guide us into the paths of righteousness. Let us do life with our children, our grandchildren. Let us bless them. Let us affect the future by them. Lord, let them be a blessing to us. And I thank you for this day. And I pray, Lord, it's meant something to each one of us. And that Wednesday will even mean more because of today. Thank you, Jesus. And I love you. And I thank you. My grandfather, my grandmothers. I thank you for my parents. Thank you for my family. For my grandchildren. Thank you. In Jesus' name. I invite you just to, in some sort of little memorial way, bring your card and maybe lay it there. Whisper a prayer. All week long, you'll be bombarded with images and thoughts. I pray that today has meant something. I just ask you, remember those families in prayer. They lost something very, very special. We're going to dismiss, blow your candle out, and lay it in the cedar on the floor, we'll get it. Just come up and leave your card if you will. Anybody that needs sick, is sick, needs prayer, want to pray for you before you leave. Elders are going to come up to the front and just stand around here. Anyone that needs prayer, just be coming. Just a minute. God bless you.
What do you want, Jack?